Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's our News Watch unit for today. And our Chinese teacher was kind of fed up. He'd been working too much and he needed a break, so he's not with us today.
Goodbye.
So this is our all-English lecture today. No Chinese teacher to help you out today, so you're on your own, everybody. But we'll try to speak as clearly as we can. This is our News Watch unit. We've got a couple of news stories to talk about. Something happening at Cambridge University, which we mentioned in our program last week, a famous site for punting. Mm-hmm. If you remember. And there's also some kind of pen that might cure cancer. How can a pen cure cancer? Very interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but we're seeing new sorts of treatments being used to fight cancer, which is a great killer. So we're going to take a look first at the Cambridge University press story, which is about censorship and China. And then we'll move on to the next story and see if this pen that has been invented could possibly lead to more lives being saved. Let's get started, guys. We're going to read through both of these stories. Cambridge University Press reverses China censorship. Cambridge University Press, CUP, is one of the world's oldest publishing houses, highly respected for its academic integrity. So, its decision to remove content from its China Quarterly website because it was deemed offensive to the Chinese government came as a surprise to many. The censored content included more than 300 articles related to subjects such as the Tibetan independence movement, China's Cultural Revolution, and public dissent in Hong Kong. After a few days, however, CUP reversed its course and restored these articles to the website. Despite the reversal, some people see CUP's behavior as a troubling sign. China's Communist Party has taken a heavy-handed approach to censoring content that is critical to its policies. Companies that fail to comply with government requests, such as Facebook and Google, are blocked and prohibited from doing business in China. This approach could backfire, however, as it might cause foreign media companies to scale back their business plans in China. This would pose a major setback for Chinese scholars, who will likely struggle without full access to international academic journals.
The pen that could put an end to cancer. Cancer is the second leading cause of death worldwide. Each year, it claims approximately 9 million lives. When doctors treat patients with cancer, the biggest challenge is removing cancerous tumors while preserving healthy body tissue, as it's difficult to distinguish between the two. This could soon become a problem of the past, thanks to an innovative tool created by researchers at the University of Texas. Their invention, the mass spec pen, can distinguish between healthy and diseased tissue in only 10 seconds. This is 100 times faster than the current technology. In addition to being quicker, the mass spec pen is also extremely accurate. In a recent study, it correctly identified cancerous tissues 96% of the time. Although the mass spec pen would be a significant upgrade for doctors, it still requires further testing. The technology has also yet to receive a Food and Drug Administration certification from the U.S. government. Nonetheless, researchers hope to get this approval soon, as they hope to start clinical testing on human patients sometime this year.
Let's take a quick look at our first story here, and the headline is Cambridge University Press reverses China censorship. So we're going to look first at this word to reverse something. Something is done one way, and then it's almost like the decision was taken back as if it was never made in the first place. You'll often see this verb used when we're talking about the courts or maybe your legislative UN. Maybe they pass a law, but then they reverse it. Or maybe you have a teacher who gives you a new rule in class and then discovers it's not such a great rule and reverses it and says, we're no longer going to do that. So that's to reverse something. Here, censorship refers to when a group of people or maybe even a country, they look at some sort of publication. It could be a book, a film, news, and they don't like everything they see in it. And so they ban parts of it or they say you can't read this. They limit what you can see and read.
That's right. So that's what censorship is all about. That's the noun. To censor something is the verb. And remember, last week we talked about punting on the Cam River next to Cambridge University. So, hey, Cambridge University is back in our program. Cambridge University Press, or CUP, is one of the world's oldest publishing houses, highly respected for its academic integrity. So, of course, the press refers to a news organization, a press itself. Is a machine that prints out newspapers, but now the word press just refers to news in any form, whether it be printed or broadcast or sent out on the internet. And it's one of the world's oldest publishing houses. Publishing house, you could just simply call that a publisher. Publishing house, like Random House, is a publisher in the United States, or you could call it a publishing house. It means the same thing. And they are highly respected for their academic integrity. Academic means having to do with education or scholarship. So, of course, it has to do with the university here. Of course, it's a highly respected university in England, along with Oxford and other places. And if you have integrity, that means you are respected for being honest and you have strong moral principles.
Right, and you really believe in dealing with the truth. You don't want to hide things or ban things or censor things. I wanted to mention academic can also be used as a noun. I have a friend who is a college professor, and she considers herself an academic. She didn't go to school to learn any practical skills. Her job is to just do research and write papers and publish them and teach in a college or university. So she's an academic. So it's decision, Cambridge University Press's decision, to remove content from its China Quarterly website because it was deemed offensive to the Chinese government came as a surprise to a lot of people because folks had really felt like Cambridge University Press would not bow or give in to pressure from any sort of government who wanted to censor things. If you deem something a certain way, it means you consider it that way. That's how you view it, how you see it. And if it's offensive, it bothers you. Some people consider some of the violent video games and movies that we have offensive. They don't want their little kids watching perhaps all the killing and the blood and the gore. So if it's offensive, it makes you feel upset. Maybe you've been around someone who tells a dirty joke. That's offensive. Everybody gets offended by different things. So they were told by the Chinese government, hey, take down these articles. We don't like them. They're critical of us. And guess what? They went ahead and took them down.
Wow. So Cambridge University caved in to China. They gave in. They crumbled in front of them. What a shame. I understand this is quite a big problem in the world. The Chinese government is putting pressure on various academic institutions. I understand this problem is especially acute in Australia and also in America as well. So watch out for them.
Yeah. The government over there is contributing lots of money to some of these schools. And businesses.
And they're not doing it just because they want to be nice.
No.
They've got an ulterior motive.
Right.
But in any case here, yes, a lot of people thought that was surprising. How could you cave in to the Chinese government like that? Well, the censored content included more than 300 articles related to subjects such as the Tibetan independence movement, China's Cultural Revolution, and public dissent in Hong Kong, and probably plenty of references to the Tiananmen incident and other things like that. So these are things, of course, that are very sensitive, and these are related to subjects For example, the Tibetan independence movement, of course, they're totally against that. The China government doesn't like that. And the Cultural Revolution is kind of controversial because Mao Zedong ordered that, and he's kind of a revered figure in the Chinese Communist Party, so they don't like anything that's critical of that. And they don't like what those people in Hong Kong are doing. They have that public dissent, or public dissent just means that people just don't agree with the government. They have opinions that are different from those in power.
Yeah, and if you see public dissent, you can imagine people going out on the streets and protesting. That would embarrass the government because they want to look like everybody's happy with what they're doing. But if you are a dissenter or you're dissenting, you're letting people know you don't agree with them in whatever area you're talking about. So after a few days, however, CUP or CUP reversed its course and restored these articles to the website. If you restore something, you bring it back to the way it used to be. A lot of guys like to restore old cars. Or you could restore an old piece of furniture that's an antique but looks pretty bad. So you strip the polish and redo the wood. You can restore lots of things. Here, we're putting the articles back where they were before they were taken off the website.
Very good. So I don't know what they did there. I'm sure China was not happy about that and will no longer give them money.
Uh-oh.
Well, despite the reversal, some people see CUP's behavior as a troubling sign. Okay, so yes, indeed, at first they decided to censor their own content. Later they said, oh, that's a mistake. We should reverse ourselves. But people are saying, well, even though you reversed your decision, despite that, even though you did that, people are still kind of worried about that. It still means the problem is still out there. The China government, the Chinese Communist Party is still trying to influence educational institutions all over the world. And they're not going to stop either.
It says here that the Chinese Communist Party has taken a heavy-handed approach to censoring content that it considers to be critical of its policies or to its policies. They're both fine. If you're talking about communism, it's a type of political system where everybody is supposed to share and share alike, and you have the leaders who actually tell the people what they need to do. Heavy-handed, if you see that adjective, you can use it different ways. Heavy-handed is usually someone who is not subtle, uses perhaps a lot of strength or force to get what they want. Or sometimes we'll say that person has a heavy hand with something. For example, my mom had a heavy hand with sugar. She would add lots of sugar to the things she cooked. But heavy-handed means it's not light or subtle. It's pretty strong. It's obvious. You can't miss it. You can't ignore it.
Right. So they are taking this kind of forceful approach to censoring content. They don't like content or articles that are critical to its policies. Critical means they criticize it. They say, hey, what you guys did during the Cultural Revolution is bad. What you're doing in Tibet is bad, etc. Hey, they don't like that. Their feelings get hurt really easily. There are a bunch of crybabies up there in Beijing. They don't like that. So they try to influence these educational institutions all over the world. Companies that fail to comply with government requests, such as Facebook and Google, are blocked and prohibited from doing business in China. So basically they're saying that, hey, you've got to comply with our requests. You've got to agree with what we want. You've got to comply. You've got to do what we tell you. A request is usually when somebody asks you to do something. I'd like to make a request. I'd like to request a song, for example. Can you play Monday Monday by Mamas and the Papas or whatever? That's my request. But here, request is a noun, just when you ask for something.
Such as Facebook and Google. These are two companies that are blocked from doing business there. And they're prohibited from, you know, actually making some money in China. If you're prohibited from doing something, someone tells you, no, you cannot do that. A similar word would be banned. If you're banned, you can't go somewhere or do something. I remember Brad Pitt, a very popular American actor, made a movie about Tibet, and he was then banned from ever visiting China. So you got to be careful. I think there are some pop singers, too, that have been banned from performing in China and other countries.
They don't like Richard Gere either. He's banned as well.
That's true.
Because he says things about
Tibet. He likes the Dalai Lama.
Yeah. He talks to the Dalai Lama stuff. So this approach could backfire, however, as it might cause foreign media companies to scale back their business plans in China.
Yeah.
They may not, but if something backfires, it has the opposite effect. Maybe you're trying to get your coworker fired, you hate that person, and you spread rumors about that person, but your plan backfires. Instead, you're the one who gets fired for being a troublemaker.
And they get promoted.
Yeah. Exactly. So your plans might backfire there. And yes, indeed, China's policies might backfire. This would pose a major setback for Chinese scholars who will likely struggle without full access to international academic journals. So yes, indeed, these are scholars, and they want to have full access to these journals all over the world. If you have access to something, that means it's available to you. You can get to it. You can use that thing.
Yeah, for example, sometimes you'll probably have an opportunity to have your internet go down at home and you don't have access to the internet. That's really annoying. So they will likely struggle, these scholars in China, if they don't have full access to international academic journals. That's how you gain more knowledge, is by studying truth and facts instead of fiction. Sometimes governments actually write fiction. Now, we've kind of wrapped this first story up. We're going to take a look at the next story now. The headline is, "The Pen That Could Put an End to Cancer." But before we do that, we're going to take a short break. Tom and I are going to eat some candy, and then we'll be back.
Okay, let's continue with our second news story. We've got a pen that could put an end to cancer. It's not really a pen, but we'll talk about actually what it is in just a second. But cancer is the second leading cause of death worldwide. Worldwide here just means all over the world.
I thought it was number one. I guess that's heart attack.
Yeah. I think maybe cardiovascular disease is number one or something like that. But in any case, each year it claims approximately 9 million lives.
Wow.
Okay. When doctors treat patients with cancer, the biggest challenge is removing cancerous tumors while preserving healthy body tissue, as it's difficult to distinguish between the two. Now, of course, you know, cancer is when cells start growing and they can't stop. There are different kinds of cancer: lung cancer, liver cancer, skin cancer, etc. And these types of cancer involve tumors, which is where all those cells are growing. You can see them in x-rays. And, of course, they want to remove those tumors, get rid of them, because the tumors are cancerous, which means they continue to grow and they won't stop until the person dies.
Right. So this is a great thing. I know a lot of different research companies are working hard on finding some cures for cancer. We're losing too many people to this disease. There's so many kinds of cancers, too. So when doctors treat patients, the biggest challenge is getting rid of those bad cells that group together, those cancerous tumors. You've probably heard that people who are suspected of having cancer go and have some tissue taken from their body, and then they look at it and they come back and they have either one of two responses. They say, oh, it's cancerous, or it's benign. Benign is the word we use, and that's the word you want to hear. I actually was tested once for cancer, and they came back and said, oh, it's benign. You're okay. So cancerous means you got to get them out of your body because they're bad and they're killing the rest of your good cells. But you want to also save some of that healthy body tissue, but it's hard to tell the difference between the two. So let's move on to the next paragraph. This could soon become a problem of the past, thanks to an innovative tool created by researchers at the University of Texas. A lot of good research is done at universities around the world.
This one is in Texas, of course, the Longhorns in Austin, Texas, and this is an innovative tool. You might hear British people say innovative. I've heard that pronunciation before, but the American pronunciation is innovative, which means it's new, it's novel, it hasn't been done before, it's original, and it's advanced. Innovative.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're looking for. This particular invention, they've given it a name. It's called the Mass Spec Pen.And it can distinguish between healthy and diseased tissues in only 10 seconds, which is amazing. This is 100 times faster than the current technology that is being used to fight cancer. So we're looking at something that's new, that's 100 times faster than we've had before, which is a really big jump in speed, I would say.
Yeah, it's not really a pen either. It's just in the shape of a pen.
Looks like it, huh?
It's more like a tool or a scanner or something
like that. A device,
maybe? A device, yeah. You can't really use it to write an essay or something like that.
No.
But it's in that shape, and it can detect various types of cancer. It can identify cancerous tissues. To identify something just means that it is able to indicate what something is to give it a name. Oh, that's cancerous there, and that's not cancerous.
Right.
Okay, although the Mass Spec pen would be a significant upgrade for doctors, it still requires further testing. So we're saying that it's a significant upgrade, an upgrade or a significant upgrade. An upgrade, of course, is an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
This happens all the time. I hate those upgrades when you're trying to use a computer program and it works perfectly well, and then this little sign appears on your screen. There's an upgrade available. Would you like it? And I say, no, I'm happy with the way it is. Thank you.
Or sometimes you get the little message on your screen that says your upgrade will begin in 2 minutes.
And you didn't press anything.
Darn it,
does it
stop
anyway.
It. I'm in the middle of a paper. Yeah, I hate that.
And you can't stop it in any case. But I guess this is something that doctors would like, though. It's an upgrade, an improvement. It's significant, which means it's worthy of note. It's something that we should pay attention to. Doctors are going to take note of this as well. Wow, it can identify cancerous tissues 96% of the time. Wow. When can we get that pen and how much is it going to cost?
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be expensive for a while. Now, the technology has also yet to receive Food and Drug Administration certification from the U.S. government. Typically, you see Food and Drug Administration, just they're using their acronym FDA. We just say the FDA. Hmm. I hardly ever hear anyone say the Food and Drug Administration.
It's quite a tongue twister there.
Yeah, they like to check out all of our drugs, prescription medicine, and if they think it's dangerous, they won't certify it, which means it can't be sold in America. With some of these new medicines, sometimes the first place in the world that gets approval would be Europe and not America. We're a little bit more cautious sometimes, but that's the administration, that's the part of our government in the U.S. that has to approve new types of treatments and prescription medicine, the Food and Drug Administration. Certification means you pass some sort of standards that are set up by the FDA, and once you do pass it, you're certified, and then you can tell everybody, I've been certified, I've been approved, and now you can be sold.
And that does seem to be the goal of a lot of companies out there.
Mm.
They want to get ISO 9002 certification, whatever that is. I don't work for a big company, so I'm not quite sure
what that is. We see that a lot in Taiwan because we do videos for companies. Yeah,
some kind of certification, recognition from some international organization
that says,
hey, you produce these kinds of products. We've tested them. They're okay, so we can give you this license or this certification.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, so manufacturers of this pen need to have some kind of certification from the U.S. government. And as you said, sometimes the process is kind of long, kind of lengthy. So maybe somebody in some other country might sort of steal the idea or maybe come up with their own kind of pen and develop it in some place that doesn't have such strict regulations, and we might be able to save cancer patients sooner. But in any case, yes, it needs to receive certification from the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. of the U.S. government. And nonetheless, you could also say nevertheless, researchers hope to get this approval soon as they hope to start clinical testing on human patients sometime this year. So it's, again, a very long process here. First of all, they need to get accepted by the FDA. They need certification. And then they've got to do these clinical trials, as they're sometimes called. We're saying clinical testing. Clinical means having to do with a clinic. They'll do this in various hospitals, maybe the Mayo Clinic or something, or the Cleveland Clinic or something, and they'll start testing this pen on human patients, patients who volunteer for this procedure, and hopefully it will do them some good.
Yeah, a lot of these cancer patients don't have any other options left. They've tried everything. Nothing's working, and so they will volunteer to participate in some of these clinical trials. When drug companies first start out, of course, they test the drugs on animals. If those animals respond well, then they move on to people. And there are different clinical trials that are undertaken, you could say. What happens is doctors who are in that sort of specialty, oncologists, that's what a doctor who treats cancer patients is called, an oncologist, he will decide which patients might respond well. He'll ask them if they want to participate. A pharmaceutical company, for example, Pfizer, which I worked for in New York, they will give that doctor money to carry out the clinical trials. And we see then if it helps or if it doesn't help. I actually worked in a group that just did clinical trials. And it was exciting and sometimes kind of sad to see some of our drugs not work as well as we wanted them to. We had great hope that it would really make a difference in people's lives. Sometimes they get to the end of the clinical trial process and they have to just bag it or quit trying to get that particular drug approved. And it's a lot of money to go through the whole process.
Indeed. And I was going to say, if this pen, the mass spec pen, ever is approved and it's on the market, it's probably still going to be really, really expensive to use it. And only very rich people will be able to afford it. So maybe the rest of us, regular folks, can be cured of cancer in about maybe 50 years or so. So
if you're in a clinical trial, though, it's free. So maybe you'll be one of the first people to get to try the efficacy, is what we say. If something works the way it should, it's got some efficacy. So hopefully this pen will help some people save members of their family. That's what we really want.
But in the meantime, while we're waiting for this thing to come out, do things that help you prevent getting cancer, like have a good diet, get plenty of exercise,
sleep.
And
yeah.
Heaven forbid, don't smoke cigarettes. Well, I'd normally turn things over to the Chinese teacher today, but we have to keep our promise. This is an all-English lecture, so I guess you'll have to tune in next time to hear from the Chinese teacher again. So from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.